God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son.
Listen now for Call to Worship, a half-hour program dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by the Zion Chapel in Holland.
A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord, a wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, where rivers of pleasures I see. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depth of his love and covers me there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand.
My soul in the cleft of the rock, where
Reading Psalm 2. Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, Let us break their bands asunder, and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath, and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord said unto me, Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Then shalt thou break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Let's give thanks for the truth that we have read here. It is true at this very moment. God is sitting in the heavens. The fourth verse we read, He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. That doesn't mean that God laughs at sin, but he laughs at the plans that people make. And many times he allows them to do these things, and other times he does not. Only when he does allow it will it take place. It is still all under his control. And how we can give thanks for that and beg him to look on us and others, the church and the world, through Christ, and then deal with us because of him. Our Father, we come to thee through Christ Jesus, thy Son, through him who is the way, the truth, the life, who is the door into thy presence of love, thy presence of reconciliation, thy presence of giving us what we need, not only in forgiveness, but in a new life, a life to begin to love thee, and then in such a place that we can know that all things work together for good to them that do love thee and are called according to thy purpose. We give thanks that the beginning of anything good in us is according to thy purpose, for only then can it be good. Thou hast said, There is none good, no, not one. And Father, we acknowledge that of ourselves, and we know, sadly, it is true of others as well. It is true, as the psalmist could speak of, the world here and the rulers of it. And we pray, Father, that as we see this day of declension in the church becoming a salt that have lost its savor, and wickedness arising, wickedness filling the earth, violence as in the time of Noah, and the terribleness of it. And we pray, Father, that it might be rightly recognized in the church, first of all, that the church will again call the rest of the world and itself to repentance. We think of thy commands, Lord Jesus, to many of the churches in Asia, when writing to them, that they were called to repent. And Father, we think of the words that Peter wrote, If judgment must begin, it must begin at thy house. And if it begin at thy house, what shall the end be of those that do not believe? And we pray, Father, that we might see these things as they are, as thy word tells us, and we give thanks for that word, that perfect word, that complete word, and that true word of thyself, of Christ, of the Holy Spirit, and of things past, things present, and things to come, all given that we need to know in Scripture. We pray, Father, for a right leading through Christ for us in the church first of these things that are written, that we might believe them, that we might be made in the church to believe them together, that the church might be made one in the truth, and that thy prayer, Lord Jesus, will be answered in this present time, the church being made one, that the world will know that thou, Father, hast sent Christ, that the world will know that he is thy Son, thine
beloved Son, thine only begotten Son. And we pray that those that do not yet believe that may be brought to repentance and to faith in thee and in Christ. We also give thanks for the blessings in nature. We remember those who suffer under the ravages of nature, in earthquake, wind, fire, flood, drought, all these calamities that are there for many. We pray, Father, for thy blessing on them in the midst of judgment, that thou would remember mercy and give blessing. We give thanks when we have so much blessing in nature, far above many others. And Father, having not just food and raiment, but having it in abundance, we pray for those in want. We pray for our homes. We pray for those in sickness and injury. We pray, Father, for other calamities that are there, war, the suffering that it brings, the lie that is believed and brings this war that is so sadly there in so many nations, destroying themselves and destroying others. We pray for the schools as they begin and as they have turned from thee as creator and, Father, even as lawgiver as well. We pray that all these things might be recognized and repented of all through Christ. Amen. As we consider this psalm, very much needed in our present day, we can certainly ask the question with the psalmist, why do the heathen rage? And it's not only the heathen, the people imagine a vain thing. And then the third group referred to in the second verse, the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. This is certainly not something new. This took place in the history of those who wrote this. It may have been David before he was king. It took place in the time of the judges. It took place in other nations. It took place after this, the many kings that followed David, both in the tribes of Judah and Benjamin, the Levites with them, and in the other 10 tribes, many were in rebellion, as well as other nations. We think of Pharaoh when Moses was sent to him, and he asked the question, who is the Lord that I should obey him, thinking he could overcome him. But the sad end was death at the hands of the Lord. And that will be true of every one that continues in unbelief, continues in rebellion, continues in pride. It will all be broken. It will all be stopped in the way that is here described. The heathen rage. There's a terrible raging today. An awful way, not only against God, against his anointed, Christ, but sadly, it is also against one another. Terrible, terrible things. Literally in every nation. Then we hear of it in one nation. Then we hear of it in another nation. And then we hear of it still in another. And we hear of it in our own as well. Thankfully, not as much in our nation as some, particularly when it comes to the destruction of war. But we are in danger. Leaders in our nation set themselves, rulers with them. We can take them in one class, describing them in two different ways, or we can put them in two different classes, kings and rulers. There are different orders. We have in our nation a president. We have also those who bear rule, those that administer the law in our nation. And we can be thankful for it. And that is also under the anointing of God. Not the anointed one as Christ, but as Romans 13 tells us, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. And the powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the order the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Yes, in the lesser rulers on the street, as well as in the capitals, every place where there is order, the courts, all of that is under the jurisdiction of God. It is all by His decree, all His, we might say, His anointing. He has given it as a blessing, and it is, as Paul writes there, Father, for the protection of the people. The sword is not given in vain, it is given to protect. Sadly, we have gone far from what is right. Far from what is right. We call something a right that is a terrible, terrible evil that makes those that are guilty in it murderers. Sadly, kings, rulers, those in authority want to be murderers, want murder to be performed. It is one of probably our worst ways. There are those in our nation that call themselves progressive. They call themselves liberal. They give themselves different names, different parties, but they want the so-called right to kill, the right to do wrong. And it's not only those who promote this, who want laws to be passed, permitting it, making it lawful to kill, lawful to do that which is wrong according to the Word of God, that which has been wrong for almost 200 years since we became a nation independent. And we may believe it was recognized as wrong long before our nation received its independence, when we were a people under the jurisdiction of another nation, but we were a people that settled here, our forefathers, and they would not think of this as being right or a right all through those generations. And now we are imagining a vain thing, empty of any good. And it's not only those who promote it, those who say, give us this place in authority, but those who vote for them. Every one of you who will vote for a murderer is guilty of murder before God. And as we read, will receive damnation. Sadly, those that should protect the innocent, should protect lives, have gone to the side of wickedness. And our nation, just think of 3,000 babies a day. Those who want to do it, speak loudly. Those who may say, we don't agree with it, are too silent. Many times I get surveys in the mail. What's the most important? What's the most important in order of probably 10 things? Or what do you believe of this particular thing in the country, or this particular thing, or that particular thing? And often the worst, terriblest sin, that pile of 3,000 babies a day, isn't mentioned as, what do you think of that? I think it's terrible. I know all of us can be guilty. I feel a pity for those who get into a circumstance that sometimes leads them to it, probably unwittingly, sometimes by the coercion of others, sometimes the fear of facing the situation as it is. But there are ways better. There are ways of bringing a child to birth. There are those that want children that do not have their own. And we need to promote this as a nation, not just this group or that group, but as a nation, we have leaders in the most important places say, send us money so we can continue to kill. Why aren't those same people asking, send us money so we can have people live, so we can provide a home? Yes, it seems like when sin goes on, we become so accustomed to it, we become hardened. Hardened. Yes, that's what we are. We have sin through the years. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. I think of another psalm, Psalm 50, where God speaks to all of us, gives us warning, declares that we foolishly think that God is like us. In Psalm 50, verse 21, these things hast thou done, and I kept silence. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such a one as thyself. But I will reprove thee and set them in order before thine eyes. Now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver. Who's going to deliver the unrepentant murderer? No one. Those that shed man's blood, by man will their blood be shed. And sometimes directly by God himself. Earlier in this psalm, he says, verse 17, seeing thou hatest instruction and castest my words behind thee, when thou sawest a thief, thou consentest with him and hast been partakers with adulterers. There are two particular sins, very serious sins, thievery and adultery. Both of them will be punished by God. But are they a greater sin than murder? Are they the greater sin than whether it be in our mind to promote it, or our hands to do it, or the desire to have it done? What is the greater? A thief will take something from someone else and have it. It may not be destroyed. It may just pass from one to another wrongly. Stealing. One will possess it that doesn't rightly own it. But it doesn't probably destroy what is stolen. But when a baby is killed in its mother's womb, it's dead. It begins the deterioration. It begins the awfulness that death brings. And I hope and pray that we'll wake up as a nation and we'll stop voting for murderers, as many of you have done. You voted for murderers. That's why we have murderers in the White House. That's why we have murderers in the Congress. That's why we have murderers in the Supreme Court that have allowed this. Want babies to be killed in their mother's womb. I don't know if I can think of anything worse. When we were at war, almost every day we read in the paper, one or two or three killed. Sometimes four or five or a few more. Sad, terrible. And they would add that number to those that were already had died before. And that number slowly climbed. But it took a long time before there were 3,000 killed over a period of time in the war. In abortion, in the killing of babies, every day. Nary a word in the paper. Nary a word. Isn't that news? terrible news, bad news, self-destruction news, all the millions that have been killed aren't here today. All those that have been killed legally since the 1970s, what a host that would have been in our society. What a better society it would be. We have the murderers left. The innocent are gone. They're dead. And when we think of this, we could think of many things, many sins. Came across a DVD picturing the ways of our education today, the way in our college campuses, and it's terrible, awful. Many different sins shown, spoken of, the awfulness of it. Yes, there was death in with that, but not the numbers, like there will be every day. Every day in this state, that state, another state, all of our states, to make that number of 3,000 in all of our states together. It's a terrible, terrible sin. God said by Ezekiel, "Watchmen, what of the night?" And he said, if you don't warn the wicked, their blood will be on your hands. So I said in the beginning, we're all guilty. What would we do if we were a young girl in the situation that some find themselves? But instead of hurting, instead of denying life, we can help. There's help with God. Listen to what the last verse says of the second psalm. Kiss the Son. The Son who gives life. The Son who is light. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. And then those wonderful words, blessed are all they that put their trust in him.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.